Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a tremendous week. We are still battling the NAACP and Whirlpool Corporation. But there have been a new twist in this thing. I'm going to read you an article from the People Tribune. It reads, Whirlpool Corporation buys the NAACP. The Whirlpool Corporation had declared a takeover of the NAACP Benton Harbor Twin City chapter. It is stunning, shameless, unreal. Marcus Robinson, the president of Consortium for the Community Development, a true Uncle Tom, and a component of Cornerstone Alliance with ties to Whirlpool Corporation and the PGA and Harvard Shore, who ties to the Whirlpool Corporation, is working on Whirlpool's behalf against the residents of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Robinson is circling an email that screens of his desire, Whirlpool desire, Harvard Shore's desire, the PGA desire to rid the NAACP Twin City branch of its president, the Reverend Edward Pinckney, who is the current president of the local Twin City chapter, elected by a landslide, the email stated. The state commission of the NAACP and their national office had decided to undertake the reorganization of this chapter with specific intention of revitalizing the leadership and membership body. Those who might be interested, please contact Whirlpool, Marcus Robinson, by cell phone at 269-277-7711 or by inbox, Facebook, or just call an email. We urge all readers to contact Marcus Robinson to find out what his true intention of and also his views on Whirlpool hostile takeover attempt of the Benton Harbor Twin City branch of the NAACP. The Michigan State is coming to town to help Whirlpool take over the Twin City branch on April 14. We suspect they will hold a special election to try to vote Reverend Pinckney out. Marcus Robinson is giving free memberships to those who promise to vote against Reverend Pinckney. Are you sitting down? Pinckney said they want me out because I've been involved in organizing a five-day protest for the Occupy the PGA, May 23rd through the 27th, when the PGA tournament will be held in Benton Harbor on land stolen from the town residents by Whirlpool. It doesn't take an IQ of 200 to understand why there is an effort by Whirlpool and the state NAACP to outer Pinckney. I am helping residents of Benton Harbor, this is what Pinckney said, and those across the country fight against the giant corporation. In addition, Jeff Fettig, the CEO of Whirlpool Corporation, said the NAACP Twin City has strongly criticized not only Whirlpool, not only the PGA, not only Harvard Shore, but also Joseph Harris, the dictator of the city of Benton Harbor, the EM, the emergency manager. In fact, the city is worse now than it was when he arrived. We know folks in the NAACP that will sell their mother for a seat at the corporate table, but this is real low, said a young man from New York. I met with Reverend Pinckney for some time to give him a history of the NAACP motto, to steal by any means necessary, and to sacrifice the many for a few. Also, the same kind of action was taken against a New York branch, an Atlantic branch, a Louisiana branch, a Minnesota branch, and also a Milwaukee, Wisconsin branch. The NAACP is an organization that claims to fight for the rights of voters, yet disenfranchises the voter rights of the NAACP Twin City branch. to please the greedy, blood-sucking Whirlpool Corporation. Did Whirlpool and the PGA promise money to outer Reverend Pinckney? After many years of living in the shadow of this corporation and observing the racism and the corruption, Pinckney believed the answer is yes. We must support each other. We cannot support people in organizations that don't support the people. A movement has to be fundamentally changed, and the morals of the multinational corporation government system that controls all of us. We are going to fight back. We are going to let them know that we're not going to take this mess anymore. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, and then we'll bring on our first guest. How about that?
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Hey, this situation here in Benton Harbor is getting heated. Would you believe Reverend Edward Pinckney has filed a lawsuit against the NAACP, Yvonne White, and Ben Jealous? Then I'm going after Whirlpool. Whirlpool sent out an email that they did not want me to receive, or anybody that know me to receive. But as soon as they sent it out, some of my friends received it and emailed it directly to me. I tell you, we are in a heated battle. Who would believe that a Whirlpool Corporation will go out and buy the NAACP? But on that note, let me bring in Ralph. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm listening to every word, and I am not surprised because it has been over a year ago that you predicted this.
Yeah.
You talked to fiscal emergency managers, financial managers. You talked about Whirlpool and what their intent was, and I know that they will let nothing get in the way of their profits. And when the black community or any community seems to get in the way of their profits in terms of a union, in terms of steady wage, in terms of decent work situation, in terms of pension, they will go to destroy it. And I am so proud to be one of your supporters.
Hey, thank you.
Taken the field against this juggernaut of corporate evil and political greed to fight it. Because up to now, too few people have taken up arms against this corruption, this moral, immoral attitude towards themselves and towards the people they are supposedly serving, and I use the word supposedly.
Mm.
And we see contradictions in everything that goes on. And I was just listening to Martin Luther King, and I was thinking about Martin Luther King. Although you know, and I believe everybody who listens to this program know that we differ in how we are to defend ourselves against this evil. But the thing that you can say about Martin Luther King, that he took the field as you do, and he stayed in the field as you do. Not like these manipulators, publicity hounds, those who work for themselves and their own gain, who come out for situations like the young man who was shot dead in Florida, and they make an appearance, they have a march, then they sue for money, and they take their money and run, and the death of our children are just grist for their personal publicity mill on CNN and other programs like that. But it is, they are in it for the money. You and Martin Luther King are in it for the people. And I don't know if your audience is aware of the murders in Tulsa, the six black people who were killed by two white men in different situations, five black people who were shot.
Mm.
Three are dead already, and two are in serious condition. And they've arrested due to the community cooperation. And I will say that I don't know a whole lot about what happened, but the mayor was on saying that the community cooperated 100% in bringing these gentlemen in. But the interesting thing was these white gentlemen shot five black people. Three of them are dead. Two are in serious condition. And it wasn't one situation. It was in various situations, in various places. And they're saying they don't know, and these are the words of the mayor, they're not sure it's a question of a bias crime.
Mm.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
And then we put the shoe on the other foot, and we see that this young man in Florida, young white man, kills a young black youth, and they're not sure whether it's a bias crime. Didn't even make it a crime. Didn't arrest him. But we all know what would be happening in Tulsa or in Florida if the shoe were on the other foot. And as much as I feel for Trayvon Martin's mother, who says it is not a question of black and white, it's a question of justice, right and wrong, I differ with her. And the most tragic thing of all is for a parent to see their child or to live through the death of a child naturally. But to live through the death of a child in this situation is unthinkable and unimaginable. But when she says it is not a question of black and white, I say it's been a question of black and white since 1619, is when they the first black person ashore here.
Yeah.
And then we can extend that is when culture meets culture, when Europe met Africa, and King Leopold and the rest of the world watched as he slaughtered millions of Africans before slavery. And nobody knows the reason why, just to get rid of them for their land. And before that, when the Pope considered people of Africa not quite human, since that time, when the European culture met the African culture, it's been a question of black and white. And you don't have to be a historian to figure that out. So here we are. You're fighting this struggle today against this corporate monster that is taking over. No. That has taken over the country. As Cynthia McKinney has stated, we no longer had government the way it used to be, and I'm not going to praise the government the way it used to be because it was slavery, Jim Crow, racism from top to bottom. So I'm not going to praise that, but it has gotten worse. And as Cynthia McKinney says, there is no government in America. The government has been hijacked by the corporations and AIPAC. And here we are. You know, as I was listening to the gentleman last week, and I'm so sorry, my phone went out. I'm going to start listening to Mary Neal when she says, they might get your phone, right in the middle of my rant against your guest and some of his philosophies. And I'm going to say, isn't that interesting? I'm in the middle of Brooklyn, and I lose the signal.
Well,
I'm not going to say I don't know why I lost the signal. I would have liked to have the last 3 or 4 minutes to finish up what I was talking about. But it all comes together. And the one positive thing we can say, or that which is positive, is that there are folks who are fighting for all of our rights. And when you're not afraid to stand up and say, burn your NAACP card, when you're not afraid to talk about the union leadership, and that is coming back to haunt us in another way, when we hear people like Mitt Romney say, you know, it's the union, corrupt union leadership that we are against, not the union. And I'm saying, and we in the union, and so many members of the union sat around and allowed the corrupt union leaders to destroy that which was built by people fighting on picket lines, et cetera, not to fight the corruption, but to allow these unions to become members of the corporation and not displace them. And now we are all up against the wall. You have stood up to point out these issues. And I hope, and I'm betting, that your leadership will lead to others standing up and fighting against those organizations that are supposed to be helping us, but are part and parcel of the enemy that's hurting us. So, I would reach out to Sundiata Sadiq up in Ossining, New York, who had to fight the NACP to get them to take a stance supporting Mumia Abu-Jamal. And this whole, you know, like there are leaders among us, and you are one of them that stands out and says, no, we are going to fight this corrupt government that we do not have because it is corrupt. We are going to fight all of those who are supposedly on our side and who are not on our side. And I'm, you know, so happy with the success you've had. And I tell you, it's success, and everybody out there can mark the success by how hard the corporation is working to be rid of you. You are hurting them, and I'm going to be at your side to hurt them some more. And I hope others can hear this message and say, listen, we have a leader who's taking the field. We're not going to buy Whirlpool. We're not going to support any of those organizations who send money to our enemies. And you see, most of these large corporations are financing the right-wing organizations that come out with an hate speech and hate literature against those of us who are fighting for freedom. So thank you, Reverend. It is a great day. It is a great week because we are taking the field with you to fight this. And
hey,
your program.
Rap? I want to say this. Sandiata from New York. He has been a very, very close ally. We've been communicating, and he have given me some pretty good instructions on how to handle this situation. And and here's the thing. All around the country, people is applauding the idea that somebody had finally stood up and filed a suit against the NAACP and their leadership. See, we're not just filing against the state. We're filing against the national, too, because they know about this crap, but they allowed it to continue. But, Ralph, if it's okay with you, I want to bring Mary on, and then I want to give you the final minutes so you can talk about Lynn, and that way you can comment on what Mary has to say, too. I'm going to bring
Thank
Mary
you,
on right now, and I want you to
I'm going to be listening. And Mary,
I want you to listen, but
listen,
I don't. I want to make sure you get the final few minutes, because we missed you last week with your minutes that, you know, you always ended up, we want you to always end up with the final minute. Then I bring on Roz after I bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here. How are you, Reverend Pinkney?
I'm great again.
I understand. I am so glad, Reverend. And I just finished sending out emails asking everybody to listen in because Reverend Pinkney has filed suit against the NAACP. The NAACP, I call it them versus you. Under the NAACP versus Reverend Pinkney for being real. And that's the thing, sir. When we stand up for justice for all, when we stand up for liberty and justice for all, then we can anticipate these attacks. And, you know, we are right now today, I want to say happy Easter. Happy Easter, because we are right now today commemorating the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was really celebrated because they had a certain job for him to do. They thought that he would get the Romans off of them. And when he failed to fulfill their purpose, and his own purpose, you see, then they turned against him. His purpose was to bring people together, to respect one another, and to love one another as he loves us. And they didn't like that purpose. They wanted to fight. And they wanted him to be their leader and to battle. And then, secondly, they tortured him. And after they tortured him, then they crucified him. And it's the same thing. They have a purpose for you. They want you to join the pack. People who turn their backs on some man when we have justice quests. They don't want you to let me on the show. They don't want you to let Rosie come on and talk about how she is treated in, as a school teacher. They want you to let Ralph come on and talk about how everyone is a political prisoner, a lawyer who did the right thing and defended her unpopular clients zealously. They want those things. And so you see, you are not fulfilling the purpose that they must lay out for the head of an NAACP chapter. Because you are to just go to the dinners and you are to rub noses with white people and do a lot of brown nosing also. And you are supposed to make a speech now and then if the people rise. And basically, you are supposed to get up to calm down and feel like, you know, everything's in your hands and it's going to work out until the next black man, like my brother, is secretly arrested and murdered and then to give the family any papers. You're supposed to turn people like that away. You're supposed to turn away people like Rosie, who is mistreated badly, got injured in a classroom, rowdy student who sprayed the fire extinguisher in her face, and now she's hurt, disabled, and they won't give her as the monies that she's due by way of workers' comp and long-term disability. We're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to talk about Lynn Stewart, who is the one of this team, in my vision. Ralph Plum, who's down in Texas, 71 years old, a prisoner, because she defended a client zealously. We're not supposed to talk about Lynn Stewart being a political prisoner. So these are the subjects that, and we certainly are not going to address. If you want to stay popular with them, you certainly cannot address Benton Harbor, a town there in Michigan, being taken over at corporate interest. That is a no-no. We're supposed to ignore those things like you would a burp. But instead, you talk about these things. You let those who are bossless have a – you have welcomed people that suggested to be guests on the shows, and some of them have experienced – leap from their prison because they were on your show. So you have a wonderful voice, and it's the best of justice, and you know what? That translates to me as a righteousness. Because
you're breaking up on me.
You're
breaking up. Let's get clear. Can you find another location?
Okay, thank you. You cannot. Can you hear me better now?
Better, much better. Or either talk
okay.
Louder. That's how you do it.
All right. I was saying, sir, that you have the voice of justice, which to my idea translates to being the voice of righteousness. And so I republished a poem. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you good. Go right ahead.
Okay. And it's, you've got to be taught. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people that your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. And that's from Rodgers and Hammerstein. You've got to be carefully taught. It's from the musical South Pacific. Regarding Trayvon Martin, I want to say I'm impressed with all of these people grandstanding on that boy's casket. These people are grandstanding on Trayvon Martin's casket. And I don't know what their purpose is, but every time I run across a media clip about Trayvon Martin, or some of these people who claim to be civil and social rights workers, I just have to call them into question and say, what is different about Trayvon Martin's case? I tell you, I want everybody out there to be very careful. I wrote an article. It's called Trayvon Martin, An Excuse for Martial Law. Now, these people are pulling your strings. They're killing folks every other day. They're killing folks. Young black unarmed men like McDade, down in Pasadena, California. Mr. Ralph Porter told you about five or six shootings in Tulsa. They walked into Mr. Chamberlain's home, a black man, a Marine vet who had his life alert went off. He's 68 now, a Marine veteran. His life alert went off. Police who answered the 911 call went in and tasered him and shot him to death. We have just case after case, but the White House never said anything about these cases. The Congress never dressed like those people and took off their clothes in front of the audience and had on the clothes representing them. None of these things happened with these other cases, but everybody is lining up on the Trayvon Martin case, and I tell you, it's something to be very careful about because anything that's acting so different, anytime the system is really broadcasting a murder and all of the people who have turned away so many justice seekers are harping on this one, I just think it's something for us to say, and wait and see and be very careful about it because we have recently gotten all these martial law bills. We've gotten all of this NDAA, which is indefinite detention without any chance of defense. And we've gotten a civilian martial law bill that says that anybody can be inducted into civil service. In other words, you know, you get a letter in the mail saying a report to this bullet factory or something. So we have to be shrewd and very careful on wondering about this Trayvon Martin case, why it is allowed to go online, why it is allowed to be broadcast in major news. And usually the usual course is what happened to my family, to cover up and hide what is going on. So we have to be very, very careful because the oppressors are very shrewd.
You're absolutely correct.
Listen to this,
Mary. Mary, did you know there's some stuff that's going on in y'all community that you may not know about in southern Georgia? I want to talk because I only got a couple of more minutes with you before I bring on Roz. But it's a small town of about 5,000 people. It's called Quitman. Q-U-I-T.
I've heard of it.
And it's about 5,000 people, 67% of our African Americans in rural South Georgia, not far from the Florida state line. A few years ago, a group of citizens got tired of having no voice in their community and decided to go out and encourage residents to exercise their right to vote, going door to door. They were successful with voter registration and education. Hundreds before became new voters engaged in political life of their community. Three candidates were chosen to run for two school board positions and one county commission seat. Relying heavy on the advanced voting and voting absentee ballots, the three African-Americans beat the white incumbents in the democracy primary. And then what they did, they accused them of voter fraud and had them all arrested. Do you know that story?
They accused these black people of voter fraud?
Yes.
And had them arrested?
Yes.
Was that recently?
That was a year ago.
Okay.
It says here on January 10, 2012, Governor Deal, he's the governor of your state, is that correct?
Yes.
He suspended three of the African-American Brook County School Board members by way of an executive order. These members have not been convicted of anything, much less voter fraud. The suspension returned the Brooks County Board to a white majority, effectively dismissing the result of the election. The Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials had planned to march and rally on the courthouse to demand the charges be dropped and the suspension of the term be lifted. Matter of fact, they was pretty much like my thing. It sounds exactly like what's going on all over the country. We're getting killed. If we win elections, they can overturn the elections. What is going on, Mary? You got about two minutes to tell me what's going on.
We've got rampant racism, and it's not just racism, but it's also oppression against the 99%. And it just so happens that whoever's at the bottom is going to get mashed hardest. And so don't think if you're white, if you're Asian, if you're Latino, you know that it'll be you next. But right now they're pressing very hard on black people all across America. And, you know, Georgia is rated number one as the most corrupt state in the union. It's number one according to the study that was just done. So this is the most corrupt state in the union, Georgia.
Wow.
Yes, it just
I tell you one thing, Mary, you have...
Yes.
You have really enlightened us. You have told us some things that, you know, that I didn't even know. And I'm out here every single day. I mean, you, what you have done has been so incredible.
You.
Your work, you know, and just like Ralph and Roz and everybody else. But I'm giving you right now, you got 60 seconds, only 60 seconds, to say whatever your heart desires. I'll bring you back later. But I got to bring on Roz after I get through with you. Take 60 seconds and say what your heart desires.
Well, thank you, Reverend. I believe that you've been in touch with Mr. Bill Windsor of Lawless America, the
yes,
movie.
Yes, I have.
Well, I want everybody to go online. They got his website back up. That's Bill Windsor, Lawless America. And the thing is that we have found, unfortunately, many of us have found that the laws apply when it's time to arrest a black or brown person, but the laws do not apply when it's time to protect the rights, even the right to life of a black or brown person. The same laws do not apply. And so that is called lawlessness, and I want you to look at Lawless America. Also, go to BH Banco Organization, BH Banco Organization. Go to that website, banco.org, and please, I want you to get the address for Reverend Pinckney, and let's please do this. Let's get the address for Reverend Pinckney, and let's put some money in there for his whatever. He's thinking of running for Congress. He's traveling around the nation speaking up for the rights of the 99%. He's got a lawsuit against the NAACP. All of these things cost money, and you know what? He could be sitting home doing just like the other so-called ministers and so-called civil rights leaders. He could be at home through with church today and just sitting at home with his wife looking at TV. But he's out here on the front lines fighting for our rights. And so I think that we need to go to BH Banco online and please send some funds so that he can continue to fight with some of your input. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Mary. That was beautiful, beautiful. And we're working on that issue that we was talking about, too. Me and my wife, we're working on that. And thank you so much. But listen, I got to bring in Roz. Roz, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing, Roz? Talk to us.
What?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's Easter. Happy Easter to everybody. Happy Passover. This is the most incredible day. The Lord has risen. And victory for all of us is coming. The bigger and the more we are attacked by the devil, the greater our victory is going to be, the greater the blessing is going to be.
Hey, I agree with that.
To know that.
Let's tell them to bring it on. Shoot your best shot.
Right.
So
and
listen, here's what I want to know about you now.
Okay.
Last week we didn't have a lot of time to talk about your case a little bit. Let's talk about that.
Okay, we're up. Since Judge Cohn from Van Nuys Workers' Comp Courthouse made his decision, my lawyer will be appealing it. And he's working on the appeal now, so please pray for just the right words for him. The appeal will go up to the appeals board. The appeals board has 60 days to give us an answer. My case is 12 years old.
Wow.
Nobody should have to go through this nightmare for 12 years. And in this last week, it's back in my lungs again, so I have had a really hard time talking. And the doctor told me not to talk, but I know the devil's after me.
That's right. Well, listen, let me ask you a question right fast. Yeah. All right, during these 12 years, how many times have they denied you?
Well, they kept lowering my rating by misstating the facts in all the reports so they could lower my rating.
Uh-huh.
And that meant I didn't get any money and I didn't get the medical treatment I need because they have a utilization review that many times goes out of state to a doctor for treatment and whatever you need, and they disapprove everything. It's a whole industry, this utilization review.
Okay, okay. Wow, so, that's, go ahead.
Okay, so up to 2005, when Dr. Stahlberg said I was 100%, I still was not getting the treatment or seeing the doctors I needed, because even Dr. Stahlberg kept saying in all his reports that I was getting sicker. He could see it, but yet as a doctor, why as a doctor did he not send me to the proper doctors for the proper treatment? Just to try anything. After all, I was sprayed with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. Then in 2008, his report, after they sent him the inadmissible evidence, where I won the grievance from Los Angeles Unified School District, he wrote a report, and he lowered my rating to 70%. So that lowered my money. And I still wasn't getting the medical treatment I needed. Then LAUSD really hasn't wanted to pay me at all. So Dr. Stahlberg wrote another report, 2011, and was paid close to $16,770. He lowered my rating to 60%. I get nothing. He said I should be assessed for my medical needs, which I haven't. So I sit here very sick, and many times I've wondered how I'm going to pay for food and pay my bills and not lose my house. I'm one of 1,000 injured teachers. I'm one of millions of injured workers across the country. That the insurance companies and your employer keeps doing this to you to delay and delay so you die off. Why would my case go on for 12 years and it's admitted by the school district 2 years after I was injured? They admit it, that it happened.
Mm.
And why wasn't it over with in 2005 with the 100% totally disabled? And why is it going on now? And then I made a complaint, just like you say, paper trail is so important. And they told me that the judge who changed the facts in my case and my testimony over and over again all these years, they said that it wasn't unethical. It is on their website. I'm number 38. It doesn't say my name, but it is my case. It's what I wrote in. And I can say, yes, I said this in 2010 and 2011, I complained. And why is when a judge changes the facts and the testimony and adds his own, it isn't unethical?
Well, it is unethical, whether they call it that way or not. You know one thing, I think that you have to continue this fight. I think you have to get the word out, and I think we're doing a tremendous job. I did receive a call about you. They didn't quite understand exactly everything. That's why I wanted to explain that. And I gave them as much information as I can. They're from L.A. They was with me when I was up there, and I told them that you need their help. And I want them to help me. So they're supposed to get back with me with some information. When they get back with me with the information, I'm going to forward it to you in an email, exactly what they're talking about, so maybe we can get them to help you, because I'm planning on coming back to L.A. very, very, very soon, and maybe we can, you know, we can do some things that really make this thing work out for you, because I don't understand it myself. I don't see how they can do it and get away with it.
Right, well, they get away with everything, as you
know.
Yeah,
I know, just like the corporations. The little people always suffering around here, and that's because we're allowing them to. And, you know, we have to step to the plate as a unit, as a team, against these folks, because they're a team, whether you know it or not. Democrat, Republican, they're the same team. You know, the only thing they're doing is fighting against us, trying to starve us out. Listen, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on Libby, then I'm going to go right back to Ralph. Go right ahead.
Okay, on April 16th, Christine Baker is coming from the workers. She's the director of industrial relations, which is workers' comp. I will be going. I'm getting 3 minutes there to speak. I've also put in complaints again to Judge Newman and Christine Baker and Rosa Moran about the judge and the doctor You cannot keep misstating, or as we call it, one lie after another. As Americans, this is not what our country is founded on. And all of us, no matter what we are, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, we all really are basically the same. We want to have a life that we can live our dreams, get our jobs, be able to feed our families, and have justice in court. We want professional, ethical judges for our cases. And I just greatly admire you, Reverend Pinckney, for standing up. I thank you for this gift. It's a gift from God to be here every Sunday to tell the story. It's not about me. I've gone through this terrible nightmare, and I'm very sick with it. All my damage, the fibro, the damage to my lungs. I have blood tests that aren't right. But I know that God's been with me, and as we get together and each of us stands up with our paper trail, Proverbs 31:9, all of us standing up, we're going to make a difference here in this country. So I thank you, and I praise the Lord for you. And I've been praying, and I know that you're going to make such a difference for all of us. So thank you, and I thank God.
And Rob, you know what? This is just the beginning. Always look at it as the beginning. And on that note, I got to bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
Yes, I'm looking at bhbanco.org. That's Benton Harbor, B-A-N-C-O, bhbanco.org. I'm reading the post from yesterday called Exposing the NAACP. It's crucial to expose the state and national leadership of the NAACP for having strayed from its purposes to become the defender of to now become the defender of corporations and the 1%, instead of advocating for justice for African-American people. The organization will resist you with all their might if you expose it for allowing corporations to gain control. The NAACP is thoroughly contaminated by greed and corruption. When will people say enough is enough? And then there's an article here, which is actually not bad, in the newspaper of Berrien County, Michigan, called the Herald Palladium, coming out of St. Joseph, Michigan, which is
anytime
across the river.
You get some good out of them, you better cherish that, because that's strictly a Whirlpool newspaper.
Right. Well, I know. I mean, one trick of the media, of course, is to, you know, rarely report the truth. You know, don't repeat it. Okay, this is Pinckney versus NAACP. Activist alleges hostile takeover of Twin Cities branch, April 5th, by Kate something or other. I can't pronounce her last name. Vocal community activist Edward Pinckney says he is suing the heads of the Michigan and the national NAACP because they are trying to wrest control of the organization's local branch away from him. Pinckney, who has been president of the Benton Harbor Twin City NAACP branch since 2009, posted a press release to his blog Tuesday that said he is, which is, you know, what I'm reading from, said he is suing NAACP President Benjamin Jealous, Michigan NAACP President Yvonne White, and Michigan NAACP Vice President James Gill for being part of a hostile takeover of the local NAACP branch. The press release further names Benton Harbor Mayor James Hightower, Benton Harbor School Superintendent Leonard Seawood, Whirlpool Corporation, the Senior PGA Championship, and the golf course at Harbor Shores as part of the takeover, but doesn't say that they are defendants in the lawsuit. Pinckney said he's suing the state and national NAACP officials for entering into a joint agreement with Marcus Robinson, the president and CEO of Consortium for Community Development, that, by the way, is the Whirlpool entity, to take over the local NAACP branch. Pinckney said the case's preliminary hearing is in Wayne County Circuit Court on April 11th. That would be at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. this Wednesday for anybody who can make it. And it's at number 2 Woodward Avenue in Detroit. Let's see. Pinckney said he would be present at that hearing or at a later one. an email circulated by Whirlpool stating that national and state NAACP officials were persuaded to reorganize the branch and that members should contact Robinson rather than the local branch officers. This was an attempt, a hostile attempt to take over, Pinckney said, by phone. Jeff Knoll, Whirlpool's Vice President of Communication and Public Affairs, said Wednesday he is not aware of any formal action or an official statement by Whirlpool regarding the local, state, or national NAACP. Many Whirlpool employees are active in community organizations, Knoll said, and the corporation does support some organizations with funding, but those organizations have their own boards. Pinckney said part of the plan to unseat him is offering free memberships to those who would vote against him in the election that they're going to supposedly hold in Benton Harbor on April 14th. Membership, by they, I mean the NAACP, the state NAACP is supposedly holding its own election in Benton Harbor. Membership dues in the local branch are normally $30 per year. And let's see. We had to file a lawsuit in order to bring the truth to the table, said Pinckney, adding that this could be the first of many lawsuits, including some against Whirlpool and the PGA. But Pinckney said he will take it one step at a time. We don't want to go out there and sue everybody. That wouldn't be logical. Robinson and state NAACP officials were not immediately available for comment. How funny. I think that personally, that's the end of the article. Personally, I think this is important for people to support this, support Pinckney and support Benton Harbor. Go to court Wednesday at 10 if you possibly can, because it's just one piece of the whole big picture. So there are, you know, constant attacks on Benton Harbor and on Pinckney. But, you know, this is just one new way that they've found to come in and attack. And if anybody, you know, in Benton Harbor or in Berrien County gets out of line, you know, something like this is going to happen. You know, they're going to buy an organization like they've bought the NAACP, or they're going to buy a person, or they're going to... You know, Whirlpool will do whatever it can to sort of just keep it all down, keep it so that nobody can make any real progress for justice in that county. So this is just another small, maybe not so small, I don't know, attack. And, you know, how is the media going to handle this? The Free Press is supposedly going to have a big article on this tomorrow by a good reporter, Ashenfelter. So look in the Free Press, Detroit Free Press, tomorrow and see what they're writing about this. So how is the media going to handle it? How many people are going to show up in court? How is the judicial going to handle this? Because it's looking to me like as time goes on and, you know, all these years that Pinckney's been an activist, it's the problems that exist in Benton Harbor are getting more and more well-known and they're getting more and more support. And I think I've said enough.
Hey, you said plenty. But, you know, for now, when we talk about Whirlpool, we cannot exclude KitchenAid. I think what Whirlpool is doing now, they're using KitchenAid because Whirlpool credit is so bad that it's a subdivision of Whirlpool, and look like they're transferring everything over to KitchenAid. I'm not really positive how they're doing it, but I know that they, you know, Whirlpool themselves has a horrible credit rating. Their credit is worse than Benton Harbor, and that's really saying something. But now what they're doing, they added they have thrown in a new hat in the ring with KitchenAid. So for now, when we mention Whirlpool, let's also mention KitchenAid, so that way people can get used to saying KitchenAid. But listen, I really appreciate you, Libby. You did a tremendous job today. But I got to bring on Ralph, and I got to come back with Mary, then let Roz finish it up. So, Libby, if you want to hang on, please hang on. But Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I would first like to thank Mary for keeping us aware of the possibilities in this struggle. And as you said, in the 60s,
keep your eye on the ball. Where are they trying to go, and where must we avoid going? So, and one of the ways to get around that is to go to root causes, as you have done. You went to the root cause of the problem, and that's Whirlpool Corporation. How do you stop them? Don't buy their products. Boycott, boycott, boycott. Economic sanction. That's acceptable to everyone with a struggle. Now that we've lost most of our income, and that will be the thing of another program, to talk about the loss of income, the loss of wealth on the part of the poor and black people in this country. It's just an enormous subject, and I won't touch it today. But as Lynn Stewart said, we must understand, and I spoke to her just today. I visited down here in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Carswell Federal Medical Center. And anybody who has time, look her up on the web, lynnstewart.org, LynnSteWart. Write her a line, because she sees very clearly the patterns within this country, the patterns of racism. And she sees it from the other side, because she is the progeny of Irish, English, German, and Swedish parents and grandparents. And she has benefited from skin privilege. And the reason we in the community love her so is that she talks about it. She recognizes it. And she talks about the debt that those who have had skin privilege in America have to all others. So anyway, we have to go to root causes. Mary Neal, you're doing your job. And as Roz was saying, the unions are corrupt, so we must attack the root causes. We must take our unions back. And everybody who's afraid to burn an NAACP card or to burn a union card is not the solution. They're a part of the problem. And Reverend, thank you for affording all of us the opportunity to talk about the root causes, to talk about justice, and to remind everyone that justice can be done, but justice isn't done by someone else. Justice is done by ourselves.
That's
thank
right.
You.
Amen. Thank you, Ralph. That was beautiful. Let me go to Roz right quick. Roz, real short, you got about 60 seconds. Say what your heart desires.
Okay, I want to thank you. I understand that the adult school personnel wants to have a recall for the board and Dr. Daisy, and this is wonderful news, and I hope that this is true and that they will continue to do this and that we will all support them in this. But I just ask for everybody's prayer for my lawyer's appeal, and then it comes out at 100%. I get all the medical and all the money that I'm supposed to get, because this is a nightmare and it should be over. I have friends that have cases for 20 years that have tried to kill themselves many times, and this is not of God, and this is just, we cannot have a country where we're trying to kill our people off.
Absolutely, and that's what's happening. Roz, I got to leave you. I just want to say before I bring on Mary that Occupy the PGA, May 23rd through the 27th, be in the city of Benton Harbor. Do not hesitate. This is something big. They're paying people $50,000 to keep Reverend Pinckney and his Occupy people from being in the vicinity. So this is an opportunity to let them know that Reverend Pinckney and his group, and that goes for everybody. It's not just a Reverend Pinckney thing. You move Reverend Pinckney out of the way. I could not do it without each and every one of you out there. So that's the most important thing. Don't give me no credit. Give yourself the credit. And if you do that, we can win this battle. On that note, I got to go to Mary. Mary, you got about 90 seconds. Keep it at 90 seconds. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you, Reverend. I just want to say thank you, thank you. I want to tell everybody that it's beautiful weather in Atlanta. Easter Sunday. Happy Easter, everyone. Easter is a time of resurrection, standing up, getting up out of being dead. We've been hypnotized. We've been dead in the battle. but we can stand up together and be united and be strong. We do not have to go to the table as beggars. We are the constituents. We are the purchasers. We are the consumers. And we've got to learn to use our consumer power to bring power to the people. We have a justice conference today, again, today, every Sunday, and I changed the time to 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Please call 218-632-0550. That's 218-632-0550. And the code is 330-203. And the reason we're having the Justice Conference is to give you a community billboard to talk about what justice issue you're struggling with, whether it's on your behalf or someone else, if you're an activist, if you are an organization that's having meetings, having conferences. It's just a way to go ahead and put that out there live. If you have a justice struggle that you would like to talk about, there's a way to put it out there live. The number is 218-632-0550, and the code is 330203. That's 330203, and you get a pound after the code. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Reverend Pinkney Show. This is an awesome opportunity for us to hear what's going on. You can also please, anything that I mentioned, and, you know, we have a number of speakers here, but anything that I mentioned, I've usually written an article about it. My name is Mary Neal, N-E-A-L, and you can go online. I have several blogs at Blogger, and that is Mary Loves Justice, Mary Loves Justice, Justice Gagged, because I'm very censored, and as I run into situations, I put it in Justice Gagged, and also Free Speak Blog. That's
all right, Mary. Very good, very good. We love you, Mary, and I just want to thank everybody. Last week, we broke the bank. We did it last week. We had more listeners last week than we ever, ever, ever had before. And I tell you, I won't know until Tuesday, but I tell you, we are putting on a show that people are listening to. And I tell you, we got problems here. But here's my final note. I want to say this. Anytime for now we mention Whirlpool, we got to mention KitchenAid, because Whirlpool is trying to use KitchenAid as a scapegoat to get out of this mess that they're in. And I want people to know some of the names on the Whirlpool products, they're going to change the name from Whirlpool to KitchenAid. So please be aware of that. Don't get tricked into buying a KitchenAid product and thinking it's not a Whirlpool product. We must continue to boycott Whirlpool products. I know last week all the people that listened in to Ralph, they listened in to Mary and Roz and Henry and everybody else that joined in. I mean, last week was such a big week for us, and I don't even know how to explain it, but I'm telling each and every one of you, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And don't forget, Occupy the PGA, May 23rd through the 27th. Have a good night, everybody. I love you all. Keep up the good work. And, hey, let's move forward. God bless you now. Bye now.
Good night.
Happy Easter.
God bless.
All right.